listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Empower the Spirit with Dr. Douglas Kelly.
Hello and good evening. My name is Doug Kelly. Welcome to Empower the Spirit. Here I am looking at empowered relationships while I'm trying to say Empower the Spirit. So good to have you with us tonight. Today is Sunday, August 21st, 2011. This is Empower the Spirit. It's a weekly broadcast of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science, part of our regular church services. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit. Tonight, we're going to be talking about 10 principles of empowered relationships as my portion of the program. And then a little later on, Dr. Vicki Hunter will have her program, Psychic Perspective, where you can call in and get psychic advice and so forth. Now, tonight on my portion of the program, you're more than welcome to call in as well. I'm going to be talking about these 10 principles of empowered relationships. I'm going to get through the 10 principles, but if you've got questions about them and you want to call in and ask, you're more than welcome to do that. The number is there on your screen. It's 714-459-3973. If you have Skype, you can use the Skype button to call in as well. Reverend John Hightower is screening calls as usual tonight, so you'll get to talk with John. If you have relationship questions, you can call in as well. You can also call in on Dr. Vicki's program, on that part of the program for relationship questions too. Or you can ask them in the chat room. So we welcome those who are listening to the live program. Glad you could join us tonight, as well as those who are listening to the archive. Also glad that you joined us on the archive. All right, so let's talk about these 10 principles of empowered relationships. Now, let me tell you where they come from. They basically come from my own experience. My wife Tracy and I, several years ago, just sat down and said, you know, what makes our relationship so good? You know, why is it so healthy? Why does it work? And we devised these 10 different principles, obviously in the light of many things that I was teaching, which Tracy's always part of. And just to let you know a little bit about our relationship, I mean, I've never even seen one like it, really. I mean, I know that they're out there. I've kind of heard about them a little bit. But Tracy and I have been together, oh gosh, 12 years now. Been married about 12 this winter. We've never had a single argument, a single fight. We've never raised our voice at each other ever. You know, we're best friends living together type of a thing. And that's some of the things I'm going to be talking about tonight in these 10 principles of how you can also achieve that type of thing. Unless you already have it, then good for you. Now, after I get done with the 10 principles, I do have a guided meditation session as well. And the theme on this 14-minute guided meditation is finding true love. So it kind of dovetails into what we're talking about tonight. I will check the chat room periodically, so if you have questions in there, you can type them in. All right, to start off these 10 points on relationships, let me ask you this question. What kind of business are we in? Well, you've probably heard this question before, and the obvious answer or the common answer is the people business. But I would like to take it a step further. I believe that we are actually in the relationship business because everything you do hinges on your relationships with others. Isn't that true? Whether your personal relationships, professional relationships, business, etc., everything's about relationships with other people. The success you gain in life is directly related in no small part to the quality of relationships you cultivate with yourself as well as your family, friends, and other people. So, let's talk about the very first one, Now, just to kind of give you a little bit of a preface here, I'm going to go through these 10 principles in the next, 20 or 30 minutes. You know, I could talk about these for a long, long time. There's a lot of aspects to them. I'm going to give you some excerpts from one of the courses in the Metaphysics PhD degree program. It's actually course 4 on relationships. So if these interest you and you're not already enrolled, then you might want to enroll and learn more about these, because it goes much deeper than what I'll have time for tonight. All right, so the first principle of the 10 is this one: know and accept yourself. Know yourself, accept yourself. The first place to begin in cultivating any kind of relationship, any kind of a, especially a healthy relationship, is to know and accept yourself. You need to know who you are and why you are who you are. Now, this is probably academic for many people, but for some it's not. There's an old saying that birds of a feather flock together, and this really is true. People are attracted to other people who have similar interests, or shall we say similar energies as we have. If you've ever wondered why certain people are in your life, or why some people seem to go from one dysfunctional relationship to another, it can be explained with the concept of external replication. External replication simply means that we replicate our inside world onto our outside world. We put it another way, our outside world is a replica or a copy of our inside world to a large degree. This means that if you want to change your outside world, you must first change your inside world. Virtually everything in our outside world is nothing more than a reflection of our beliefs, our core values, our self-concept, those things that we hold within. And these different factors directly influence the decisions we make in life. And those decisions then bring about our life circumstances. We all have an energy signature or a vibe that we put out to the universe. I mean, we're all familiar with that, right? We meet somebody the first time, we get a certain vibe. We might have even said, you know, I don't like their vibe, that kind of a thing. Well, this is just an energy signature. You know, everything, all energy, that is, has a frequency. Think of it as an audio wave or an electrical wave. All this energy has a frequency, and the energy that we put out to the universe has a frequency as well. And our frequency will attract other like frequencies, because like attracts like. Opposites don't attract. I'll explain that in a minute. All energy has a frequency, and the energy that we put out attracts others to with comparable energies that are harmonically compatible with our own energy, and it attracts them to us. And so if you think about that for a minute, if we have a healthy energy about us, we're going to attract other healthy energies. If we have an unhealthy energy frequency, energy signature, we're going to attract others with an unhealthy energy signature as well. The benefits, let's talk about unhealthy relationships for just a second before I go too much further. We've probably all been in some kind of a bad relationship in our life, whether it's a toxic relationship or just a poor relationship. It wasn't a healthy one, perhaps. And so the question arises, why do people stay in these kinds of relationships? And the answer is actually quite simple. It's because there's something that is gained from doing so. In fact, these gains are called secondary gains. Secondary gains are benefits obtained indirectly by specific primary actions. Let me give you an example. Have you ever seen a child act out? Well, we've all seen that. But let's suppose we have a child here who doesn't get enough attention, positive attention, from his parents. Well, he's going to act out in order to get attention from his parents. Even if that means a spanking or whatever, he's still getting the attention. So the primary action is acting out. the secondary gains, he gets the attention that he wants. So you think about unhealthy relationships. What are the secondary gains? I've dealt with toxic relationships and coaching people in toxic relationships for years and years. There's always secondary gains. A lot of folks have such a hard time leaving a toxic relationship. Why? Because there's secondary gains. And they can be a lot of different things. It can be habit. It can be comfort zone. It can be financial reasons. But usually these secondary gains have a lot to do with one's poor self-concept. And so you have, if you happen to be in a toxic relationship or an unhealthy relationship, you got to ask yourself, what are the secondary gains? What do I perceive as benefits from this relationship? Now, you may think, well, I don't see any benefits to it. Sometimes the secondary gains can be unconscious benefits. They almost always boil down to a lack of knowing and accepting oneself. I'll repeat that in a different way. When we remain in an unhealthy relationship, it's almost always, if not always, it is always, let's just face it, it's always because of us, because of an unhealthy relationship that we have with ourselves. The very first point of these 10 is you've got to know and accept yourself for who you are. So many people suffer from what is not commonly called low self-esteem, but I will posit that there is no such thing as low self-esteem. Think about it for a minute. Self-esteem means you esteem yourself. You feel good about yourself. Well, there are certainly people with self-esteem, with a good self-esteem. Well, why isn't there anybody with a low self-esteem? Because people with self-esteem validate themselves. They feel good about themselves. They don't seek outside validation. They don't, quote, need other people's patting them on the back or giving them the kudos and all that to feel good about themselves. They validate themselves. They know who they are. They know why they are who they are. And they validate themselves. But people with no self-esteem or low self-esteem, think about it, they seek validation outside of themselves. So in essence, they are esteeming other people more than they do themselves. I call that them esteem, not low self-esteem, because they don't esteem themselves lowly. They esteem others more, so they have them esteem. That means that they seek outside validation. They only feel good about themselves when they're doing what other people think they should, whether that's their parents, spouse, partner, religion, boss, whoever. It doesn't matter. They esteem other people more. All right, so let's get to this point about that I mentioned earlier about opposites not attracting. We've all heard that opposites attract, right? We might have even seen some evidence of that. But the fact is that opposites don't attract. In fact, the only time opposites really attract is when they're magnets. You know, the opposite ends with magnets. Perhaps we've seen people who fight like cats and dogs, and then they kind of laugh it off, saying, well, you know, we're just complete opposites. That's why we fight so much, but we balance each other out, and they go on like that. But I could argue that if they were truly opposites, you know, why would they even be in a relationship if they were truly opposites? The fact of the matter is that they're not opposites. Their energy signatures are compatible, harmonically compatible. In a relationship such as this, where people fight all the time, it's an unhealthy relationship. Their energy signatures are unhealthy, and therefore, like attracts like. It doesn't matter whether they have different tastes and all that. That's beside the point. The primary point is that they have energy signatures that are unhealthy, and so they're attracting another unhealthy person. Like attracts like. In reality, if you think about it, the energy signatures of truly opposite people cancel each other out in the sense that the individuals simply find no common ground and thus no relationship will form. You ever have that where you meet somebody and you just don't jive with them? You just don't hit it off? But yet we've met other people where we really hit it off, right? Some people can feel very comfortable with each other. And so this is why. Energy signatures is the absolute explanation for this. The people we hit it off with, we have compatible and similar energy signatures. The people that we don't hit it off with, we have opposite center energy signatures, and they cancel each other out. So we never really form a relationship with those kinds of people. So we've talked about energy signatures in this first point. And this first point is know yourself, accept yourself. The big question is, how do we change or enhance our energy signatures so that we are attracting the right types of people in our life, healthy people? Well, the answer to that is we change our frequency by changing our internal beliefs, our core values, and our self-concept through education and introspection. In other words, we grow, we learn, we evolve as human beings. That's how you change your energy signature. If you want to have healthier relationships, then get to know yourself and accept yourself just as you are, warts and all, as Shakespeare said, unconditionally. And there's, of course, a lot more to that. All right, so the first point is know and accept yourself. The second point is know and accept the other person. Another key to having healthy, close relationships is to know and accept who the other person is. Otherwise, we are not or should not be in a relationship with them. If you're in a relationship with somebody you can't accept, I mean, honestly, how much sense does that make? It makes no sense whatsoever. If you choose to have a relationship with someone, then you need to have realistic expectations of him or her. No perfectionism. Allow them to be human, just like you do for yourself. Forgive and forget everyday mistakes freely and generously. And I'm talking about, you know, simple mistakes, not betrayal of trust. We'll get that later. You need to bear in mind that they, too, are doing the best they can, just like you, with the knowledge, the experience, the tools that you have at the moment. Now, we talked about how when we meet somebody, we hit it off with them right away. This is because of our energy signatures. And then there are those times when we have a negative vibe, again, because of the negative or the incompatible energy signatures. And so we got to keep that in mind with the other person. How does our energy signature correlate to theirs? One of the points that comes to mind is that we have to, and this is going to come up a little bit later in another point too, we have to grow. And as we grow as people, we have to grow together. Sometimes we can grow apart. You've heard that. We just kind of grew apart. Well, there's a way to grow together and keep your energy signatures healthy and compatible. We'll get to that in just a moment. Let's talk a little bit about an intimate relationship with a life partner, spouse, whatever. If you're not in a relationship like this and you want to find one, here's how you do it. You find somebody that you can be best friends with, and then you make a life together. Now, that may seem very simple, and it is conceptually very simple. Not always so hard to find. But remember that those people with similar and harmonically compatible energy signatures will be drawn to. So it's a matter of finding someone with a similar energy signature. And then somebody you can be best friends with. We may have friends. Think about this. We may have friends. We may have friends. Hold on just a second. I've got to check messages. I'm getting a message that I'm breaking up a little bit. Just bear with me. Sometimes it goes that way. If it continues, please let me know. At any rate, now I've got to recapture my thought. And if anybody's so inclined, just tell me where I was in the chat. I'm sorry, folks. And that's a great thing about NLP, huh? Arrest a thought right there. Okay, here's the thought. We hit it off with certain people in different ways. We can really hit it off with somebody, really connect with them. And when we do that, that simply means that our energy signatures are more very, very compatible. We may have friends in which we have compatible energy signatures, but they're not highly compatible, so to speak. So you find somebody that you can be best friends with and make a life with them. Thanks so much for those of you in chat who are letting me know. Fortunately, I was able to recapture that. In fact, some of these folks that you really connect with, you find that you connect with them so well that you're better with them in your life than you are without them in your life. And that's just the result of two impeccably aligned harmonic energies or energy signatures. If, on the other hand, you find that a relationship takes constant effort and is plagued by misunderstandings, suspicions, arguing, and other problems, you're really fighting an uphill battle. And it's going to end. It will in time. Sometimes we hold on for dear life, but they usually always end. So the second point is you got to know and accept the other person for who they are. And remember that. Accept them for who they are, not so much for what they believe. You know, and I'm talking about people who are doing no harm. You know, you accept people for who they are, not what they believe. The third point, don't try to change, control, or manipulate others. I, of course, have talked about this a ton in a variety of different ways, not only in my courses and many other radio programs. You cannot control people. You cannot change people. Stop trying. It's just that simple. Not one of us likes it when somebody else tries to change or control us or manipulate us, so don't do it to them. And the most common way that people try to change or control other people is by offering unsolicited advice. Yet do not offer unsolicited advice to another adult. And I'm talking about adults here, not kids, not your children. You don't do that. Now, if you are a boss, a manager, a supervisor, and you have subordinates, yes, you can offer them unsolicited advice pertaining to their job. That's what part of the deal. But I'm talking about in personal relationships, do not offer unsolicited advice. And those of you with adult children who are running their lives or telling them what to do, or even with the best interest, best intentions, stop it. They need to learn their own lessons just like you and I did. I have an adult child, several of them actually, and you can't give them unsolicited advice. Now, can you share a concern? Yes, you can. But it's a sharing of a concern. It's not giving unsolicited advice. And then choose carefully. So if you want to have a healthy relationship with somebody, don't tell them what to do. Don't try to change them. You accept them for who they are, or you're not in a relationship with them. That's as simple as it gets. If you cannot accept the other person for who they are, then you're not in a relationship with them. If you're constantly upset, stressed out with another person, it's because you're trying to change them or think they should do something differently. If you're constantly fighting with them, you know, hey, the writing's on the wall. You can't control them. Now, if you say, okay, great, I won't control them. I won't try to change them. And if you're still stressed out, you're still trying, at least unconsciously or even consciously. The point is, if you're going to be in a relationship with somebody, you accept them for who they are. And if you cannot accept them for who they are, then you're not in a relationship with them. Period. End of subject. Now, when it comes to relationships, especially the more intimate ones, there's going to be a lot of give and take at times. This is why it's so important to find somebody with an impeccably similar energy signature. If you have the same outlook in life, the same desires, the same interests and all that, it's going to be a lot less difficult to get along because you're just being who you are. But here's a principle that I kind of came up with, I don't even know, 20, 30 years ago. And it's simply this. If it's a matter of preference, yield. If it's a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. I'll repeat it. If it's a matter of preference, yield. If it's a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. In other words, if you want it green and I want it blue, I'm not going to argue with you. You can have it green. I don't care. It's not worth fighting over. But if it's a matter of principle or policy or law, you know, then I'm going to have to stand firm. But usually, and so often, it's just preferences. And that doesn't mean that you always have to give in. There has to be that equilibrium, that balanced give and take. So, I'm just looking over my notes here. The third one is don't control other people. And one last part of this that I want to share with you is the area of submissiveness. Now, many religions teach that the woman, the wife, needs to be submissive to her husband. I wish I could tell you what I think of that in no uncertain terms. Let me say it politely. It's wrong. It's baloney. Let me tell you a much better approach. Deference, to defer, not to be submissive. Think about submissiveness. If you're submissive to somebody, that means you're taking the lower end of the deal, aren't you? I mean, you're not equals. Now, there are obviously some times in life when you have to be submissive. You have to be submissive to the laws of the land. If you work for somebody, you're submissive to your boss. I understand all that. I'm talking about in a relationship, and especially an intimate relationship, where you're equals. There is no place for submissiveness, but there is a place for deference. Now, sometimes one of the other of you is going to have a better idea, maybe better judgment. It's important to defer to the other's judgment. And that could mean you too. You might have a better idea. You might have a better judgment on some matter. The other person would then defer to your judgment. It's just a much, much better, much healthier concept. That is deferring or deference over submissiveness, because I just don't do submissiveness. All right, there is apparently a question in the chat room on this. Camille asks, what about the person who is self-destructing? Do you sit back and let it happen? That's coming up in just a second, the answer to that one. Another comment, I have an adult child who constantly tries to control me and give me unsolicited advice. And, of course, we need to inform them that that's not the way it works. All right, let's go on to the next point. So just as a quick reminder of the first, 4 points we've talked about. First one, know and accept yourself. Second one is know and accept the other person. The third one is don't try to change, control, or manipulate others. I guess we've only talked about three. Fourth one is coming up here. Fourth one is this: don't do for others that which they could and should do for themselves. Don't do for others that which they could and should do for themselves. Now, this is where I will answer Camille's question. This is a huge principle. In fact, I just shared with you a nugget that is worth potentially hundreds of thousands of dollars to you. And I'm not kidding about that, and I'm not exaggerating it. That little principle cost me well over $100,000 to learn, and I know it's cost other people even more. Never do something for another person they could and should do for themselves. When we do that, that's basically the definition of codependence. And when we do things for other adults that they could and should do for themselves, we are assuming responsibility for that other person. That is a right, a moral right, which we do not have. We would not want somebody assuming responsibility for us in that manner. Therefore, we should not do it for them. We don't do things for other adults that could and should do it for themselves. Now, there are some times when another person could do it for themselves, should do it for themselves, but can't do it for themselves. You have to make a judgment call on this. For example, you have a friend, lost a job due to the economic downsizing, really been trying hard to find another job, really putting himself out to do that, hasn't been successful, hasn't been able to make the car payment, ends up losing his car, and he's still trying to find a job, and he asks you for if you could give him a lift to a job interview. Well, should he do that himself? Sure. But he's not in a position to. So, yeah, help him out. But let's take another example, an addict. They are constantly losing jobs. They're wasting money on drugs or alcohol or whatever. Their life is in chaos. They're dysfunctional. They spend their money on things they shouldn't, such as booze or drugs or whatever. They lose their car, and now they want to lift a ride to a job interview. Do you give them that ride? Well, the answer is no. Again, you always use your own best judgment on these, but the answer is no, because they should do it for themselves, and they could do it for themselves if they were making better decisions. When we do things for other adults they could and should do for themselves, we enable them. And that could mean we enable them to continue an unhealthy behavior. But it seems like sometimes we have the best of intentions, somebody who's self-destructing. What do? You know, and this is the hardest pill for many people to swallow. What do? I've got a mate, and I'm talking about a spouse, a partner, even a best friend, whatever, a child even. And I know it's tough, but they're self-destructing. And that usually involves drugs or alcohol or something like that. They're just going down the tubes. Do we not do an intervention? Do we not step in and save them from themselves? You can sure try. Go for it. And you'll come to exactly the same position I'm about to share with you. There's nothing you can do. Can you be encouraging? Of course. Can you share a concern? Of course. But never forget this. They are an adult. And they have the human right of free will to drink or drug themselves right into the grave if they so choose. And there's nothing, nothing you or I can do about it. We also have the right to not follow them there, the human right of free will. It's a tough pill for a lot of people to follow, or to swallow rather, but it is the absolute truth. So you see somebody self-destructing, share a concern, but they're not going to change until they see the need to change. They talk about rock bottom. You know, some people's rock bottom is 6 feet under. That's not, you know, the way I designed it, because, you know, I didn't design it that way. I didn't even design it, nor did you. That's just the way it is. You know, do what you think you have to do. Do not enable them. Share a concern. Sometimes you have to release it. All right, what else do I want to tell you about this fourth point? Don't do for others that which they could and should do for themselves. Part of this is interdependent relationships. This fourth point is really the definition of codependence. You should not have codependent relationships, but rather healthy interdependent relationships. Interdependence means mutual dependence. It means that we depend on each other in a healthy manner to get along in life. But it also means that we're with each other out of choice, not out of need. I love the quote by H. Jackson Brown Jr. He wrote that little book called Life's Little Instruction Book. Maybe you've heard of it. He writes, "Remember that the best relationship is one in which your love for each other exceeds your need for each other." This is a huge, huge point. One of the things that makes Tracy, my wife, and my relationship so good is that neither one of us, quote, needs the other, unquote. We choose to be together. We're best friends. We choose to make a life together. But Tracy's an adult. She works. She's smart. She can do what she wants. I have no right to try to control her or tell her to do anything. And the same is true with me. I have a life too. You know, I don't, quote, need Tracy to live. Tracy does not, quote, need me to live. And so if she came to me today and say, "Hey, it's been fun, but it hasn't been real fun, I'm leaving," sure, I would be sad, but my world would not crumble. And the same is true for her. If I went to her and said the same thing, she would be sad, but she would not be devastated, because she knows who she is, she accepts who she is, and she does not, quote, need me. That's a huge point. I'm just looking over my notes here to make sure I'm catching all the high points that I want to cover for these points. So, To have a healthy interdependent relationship, give of yourself equally in a mutually beneficial relationship. Allow others to be who they are. Make their own choices. Receive the benefits and or consequences of their actions, even if those choices and actions mean that you go separate directions. There was, it must be in a different section. All right, so that's all I'm going to say about that. The fifth point that I'm going to talk about tonight of these 10 is communicate and collaborate. That's point number 5. When I'm going to have to tell you that, as I kind of halfway expected, I'm running out of time to be able to cover all 10 of these tonight. So I'm going to cover the fifth one, and I'm going to cover the remaining 5 next week in part 2. So number 5, communicate and collaborate. One of the two most important traits in any relationship, in my opinion, is communication. Tune in next week to find out what the second one is. And I've said this so many times and written it so many times, a lack of communication will kill any relationship. If you do not want a relationship to die, then you need to communicate regularly. You ever been in a toxic relationship that just needed to die? Well, would you like to know how to kill any relationship instantly and permanently? Stop communicating. And I'm talking about text messages, voicemails, phone calls, emails, mental telepathy, I don't care what. Stop communicating. The instant you stop communicating is the instant that that relationship is dead. I can't, and it works really, really well. I mean, it works perfectly. So if you don't want a relationship to die, you got to communicate. And you got to communicate appropriately and regularly. When two people are in an intimate relationship, they need to collaborate on things as equals. Collaboration means communicating on things and events and making mutual decisions. And don't forget deference. Again, sometimes we need to defer to a better way, our partner's better way or better idea. Some other aspects of communication is conflict resolution. Arguing in the form of raised voices or yelling is never justified. You know, the key to resolving conflicts in a mature adult fashion is to learn how to disagree without being disagreeable. Anytime we get frustrated, angry, stressed out because of what the other person's doing, it means we're trying to control what they're doing. And I'll go back to what I said earlier. You either accept them for who they are or you're not in a relationship with them. It's really that simple. Learn how to disagree without being disagreeable. Now, there have been times in our relationship, Tracy and my relationship, where we've disagreed on things. It doesn't happen very often, but it can happen. But so what? I don't need her to agree with me, nor does she need me to agree with her, because we are who we are. We're individuals with our own identities, which is another part of it. Another aspect of this is jealousy. We have to avoid that at all costs because it's like cancer. Science fiction writer Robert Heinlein wrote, "A competent and self-confident person is incapable of jealousy in anything. Jealousy is invariably a symptom of neurotic insecurity." Those who are inclined toward jealousy need to work on their own self-concept, and they need to be complete within themselves. All right, so I've covered all 5 of these that I'm going to cover tonight that I have time for. Let me just check to see if there are any questions that I can answer. If you come up with any questions, you know, feel free to ask them in the next segment, or in Dr. Vicki Hunter's segment, and we'll be able to express or discuss those a little bit more. Now, next week I'm going to cover in part 2 the remaining 5 principles of empowered relationships, and so you'll want to tune in for those. All right, so know and accept yourself, know and accept the other person. Don't try to control them or manipulate them or change the other person. Never do something for another person that they could and should do for themselves. That's number 4. And number 5 is communicate and collaborate. I hope these have helped you a little bit, maybe a lot. Again, these are excerpts from one of the courses in the PhD degree program. If you'd like to learn more or take the entire course, then check out the metaphysicsinstitute.org, just metaphysicsinstitute.org. Now, what we're going to do real quick here is I have a guided meditation session. I'm going to start that in just a second, play a little bit of a musical piece real quick, a short one. So do a pit stop. This particular meditation is 14 minutes long, and then we'll continue on with the rest of the program. So do your pit stop. Be right back in just a moment. Okay, and we are back. Hope everybody could hang with us. We're going to do the guided meditation in just a moment. Before I get into that, I just wanted to remind everybody, you know, if you know somebody who's having a tough time, could be you, a friend, an acquaintance, somebody, or just people in general, why not take just a brief moment, send out some positive energy, some positive thoughts to anybody who might be having a hard time. A lot of folks are. You know, a lot of folks are. So send them some positive energy and some goodwill, and hopefully it'll make some positive difference there. Now, this meditation, guided meditation. It's on the topic of finding true love. It's really also on the topic of building your own self-concept, which is always a good thing to do. So to begin with, before I begin playing it, take a couple of deep breaths in through your mouth. Hold on to it. Just a moment. Breathe out. Breathe in through your nose, too. That's what I usually do. But the word mouth came out instead of nose. Hey, what can I say? Take another deep breath. Just lighten up. Loosen up. Now, remember, this is your time. Spend the next 14 minutes. Buy it out. It's your time. Just allow yourself to go with the flow and benefit from these guided meditations. Here we go.
This program is hypnotic in nature and is never to be experienced in a moving vehicle or other times when you need to maintain awakened consciousness.
Welcome aboard your enlightening adventure. For if you don't yet see the abundance of love coming into your life, this is your time to sit or lie back, more comfortably relaxed, perhaps reassured by an ancient spiritual tradition, which asserts inside every one of us exists guiding beings whose purpose is to assist us in securing our needs. One of these beings is in the image of the love who we most intensely desire, who stirs our most fervent passion, someone we can actually experience in our lives, providing nurturing reassurance and guiding us to the love we long for. Surely, since we're all drawn by captivating dreams, you too may appreciate venturing inside an unexplored, wide open frontier. For herein reside your own life force guides, ready to provide all the support you need to savor your most treasured imaginings. So even if you were once mystified by some misconceived notions, may have been misled to believe you weren't lovable or good-looking enough, maybe even not worthy enough for love, you can especially enjoy venturing inside. Your magical life force only desiring to be summoned forth. So you're provided the liberating freedom, effortless freedom, to create the life of your deepest dreams. Surely, you can enjoy not having to do anything. You don't even have to listen to me, because your inner, wiser self can explore for you your romance-enhancing new adventure. For you know when you're drifting within, inwardly, your deeper mind can pleasurably fantasize. In these fantasies, you can venture wherever you desire. Even savor all the entrancing romance of a sun-filled tropical land, an enticing paradise by the sea, where you can be free to breathe in deeply all the salty smell of the ocean breeze, and enjoy life precisely as you please. You can walk along the moist beach sand, or if you prefer, swim within this crystal clear sea. And wherever you might be, how soon before you see coming, apparently coming right towards you, maybe even emerging from the very sea, someone you might sense specially close to you, fermenting within familiar ardent sentiments. As if someone from your deepest dreams surfaced to be with you by this idyllic sea, for you can walk along the seashore and talk or swim together sees clearly far within the deepest parts of you, is aware even of those so-called faults you might have once tried to hide from view, and cares for you all the more for these, with abiding love, reassuringly regards you with the highest esteem, affirming you're deserving of all the love, all the romance you seek, deserving even of your most enchanting fantasies. Surely, how soon before you sense, revealed within you, your secure feeling of being loved totally, thoroughly. The supporting radiance of your adoring being, seemingly penetrating and enlightening you, right to your heart's core, wisely vaporizing those misconceived, self-denying notions, completely evaporating in the radiant stream, leaving you free, freely realizing you're a highly valued, esteemed person, abundant love reassuring you warmly inside, so you likely feel completely unified, one complete whole, wholeheartedly healed to the depths of your soul. Yes, welcome the wonderful freedom to esteem rightfully your high value, your right to assert your love for none other than you, the freedom to comfortably simply be your own person, completely secure. Sure, you can always maintain your fundamental core of inner love, your love for your special view of life, your unique original humor. Surely, even though your extraordinary visitor may temporarily take leave and disappear, are you heartened when deeply aware your endearing being will always live within you, instilling and filling you with warm acceptance and nurturing reassurance, and completely secure, sure of the abundant love you deeply possess. Sense your confident awareness. You can give your love freely, absolutely certain love is returning just as freely, right to you. You can give your love while eternally preserving your own separate identity, your own integrity. For how soon before you perceive, as your body naturally breathes more slowly and deeply, emanating from a warm source inside, your own radiant stream of love, glowing and growing in the core of your being. Now with each breath, deep, deep, increasingly streaming out, outwardly, till now surrounding you, an ever-enhanced energy field, the abundance of love you deeply feel, perhaps particularly for one admired person, summoning from your heart an ardent passion, this person now surrounded too by your own radiant stream of love, positively an attractive force for the love you deeply possess, now allowing you to comfortably, openly express your compassionate, affectionate nature. Naturally, the person you admire, perceiving your inner strength, self-assurance you radiate, appreciating you're a supportive, caring person, desiring to share with you many good times, desiring your warmth, love, and affection. Clearly, this inspired image of love shared freely, charged with your own passion, your own ardor, so alluring, so compelling, mightily propelling love right into your life. For with each breath, deep, deep, perceive now surrounding you bountiful, confident energy, an actual force you wield, your own. potent force field luring, drawing to you energy of a similar nature. Yes, your deeper mind touching the consciousness of those minds in tune, in affinity with your own, drawing to you those you most desire to meet. This positive focus of your amorous thoughts, surely an attractive force, coursing out, outwardly, resonating with the universe's creative forces, drawing love right towards you. So you likely notice, as if magically, just the right opportunities seem to materialize, however unexpected, surprising these might be, conveniently providing the precise means for you to meet the endearing, caring person of your dreams. And isn't it a comforting feeling to depend on the support of a friendly universe? Secure, your dreams of love are coming true for you. Your envisioned love, as if magically predestined to be. Yes, certainly an exhilarating feeling to realize you can create your own fate, your own destiny. You can magnetize love right toward your side. For when your body breathes more deeply, sense emanating from a warm source inside, your radiant, confident assurance, you can give your love freely, absolutely certain love is returning just as freely, right to you. So you might not even be surprised when realizing others are more drawn toward you, naturally intrigued by your beautiful qualities, by your highly esteemed individuality. With each breath, deep, streaming freely, for others admire your confident life vision, your caring warmth and compassion, and of course, desire to share with you their own nurturing support and affection. And when sensing deeply this positive expectancy, you can give your love freely, absolutely certain love is returning just as freely, right to you. Then each new morn, when you open your eyes, how soon before you realize the abundance of love within you, perceiving in your mirror view, now surrounding you, a new radiance, an aura of confidence, of self-assurance, enlightening all these new opportunities for you to savor each joyous, precious moment of love. Surely, the more your loving nature may have once been denied, today, completely secure, sure of all your loving side, positively giving love and receiving love freely, the more you are thoroughly gratified, since you highly value your life, asserting your birthright to savor all the pleasures of the exciting life of love, the life for which you were born. For you need only sense within you a warm and nurturing presence, your source of love, of total acceptance.
And now, as you come back to full awareness, take a deep breath. Take a couple of deep breaths. Back to full awareness. Remember, know and accept yourself unconditionally. Know and accept the other person. Don't try to change or control the other person. Never do something for another person they could and should do for themselves. And remember, communicate and collaborate. Well, we were able to cover about five of these, so we'll pick up with the final five next week on the show. If you like what you've heard tonight, please tell others about the show. We're trying to get the word out. you'd like a topic discussed, let me know. If you like what you're hearing, like the program, I invite you to join the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. You can find us on the web at mchschurch.org. If you'd like to learn more about metaphysics and even get your PhD degree, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. That wraps up my part of the program. Dr. Vicki's Psychic Perspective is next. Please stay tuned. This is Doug, encouraging you to listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Have a great week.
This has been Empower the Spirit with Dr. Douglas Kelly. To learn more about the concepts presented in this program, visit mchschurch.com. To take a metaphysics course or to get your metaphysics degree, visit metaphysicsinstitute.com.
Power of the Spirit is a production of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science, Incorporated.
This is the MCHS Educational Network. Please visit us at mchschurch.org. This is Dr. Vicki's Psychic Perspective on the MCHS Educational Network. And now, Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Dr. Vicki's Psychic Perspective. It is August 21st, 2011. Really glad to be here with you again tonight talking about relationships. But just to remind everybody, if you have questions you'd like to write into the chat or you'd like to phone in, the numbers on your screen, 714-459-3973. I'd be happy to help in any way I can. Maybe give an insight. You know, we can chat about things. Dr. Doug Kelly is going to stay on the line with us this evening, and we're going to talk about relationships. That's tonight's feature. Because I tell you what, that's most of my work. I must say that of all my clients in my 40 years of doing what I do, I'd have to say a good 70-80% is questions about relationships, where people are at, just an insight how to make it better, an insight when they're going to meet somebody, insights. Now, one of the meditations, it's just a one-liner meditation I have created to give people, so people who are listening, you can write this down. If you're single and you want someone in your life, think about this. Say this in your mind out loud. I am open to receive a life partner who is on the same vibrational frequency as myself. It would likely happen anyway, but what we want is someone who is connected with us spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically, harmonically. Just as Doug was talking earlier, it's that harmonics. You want that friendship. You want the connection at every level. And if it's out of balance, it's not going to be good. And I think this is where a lot of people feel a strong bond with someone, a strong spiritual connection. It's overwhelming. It's powerful. So they tend to overlook, and we've all done this. We tend to overlook the little things, the life things, the thinking things, the emotional things we overlook the things that we're not compatible with because we feel such a bond. Now, maybe this is a past life connection. Maybe it is someone who is connected at a soul level and what's regarded as a soul mate. Perhaps it is that someone. But, you know, it's a big world. And a lot of things happen that not everybody is up for the journey. And this is where we have to make tough decisions, such as if someone has addictions or someone isn't willing to do the work, they think they know enough, they don't need to continue to work on it, they get the relationship and everybody sits in a chair and says, oh, I'm good now. That's actually one of the biggest complaints, is that there's no effort. And of course, with no effort, it means to say there's no communication. Point number five. Principles for empowering relationships. Now, without the communication, everything stops. And usually what happens is somebody is in it all by themselves. And this is what I call the relationship you're in with someone all by yourself. So it's all in your own mind. It's all in your own fabrication. And why don't we want to see the reality of it? Well, I get a little tougher, perhaps, than most people. I just say we want to win. You know, I mean, there's a lot of psychodynamics at work. Oh, we want to be special. We want to be loved. We want to prove that love can conquer all. You know, there's just so many things. The list is long. The bottom line is it's out of balance. You could feel an emotional bond with someone, but there's no spiritual connection. And then you could feel a physical chemistry with somebody, but there's no mental stimulation. And keep that in mind. The communication exists at all levels, the harmonics to be a partner for life. And this is where people, I believe, don't understand that we are partners for life. So before we go any further, I just want to encourage everybody again, if you have any questions, please write them in the chat. For all of our guests on chat, feel free. Other people who are listening, you want to give a call in, please don't hesitate. So one of the things that I would like to address, in addition to the communications, is how infectious we are, how our behaviors affect others, and, you know, in some of the most unconscious of ways. I've been working with a particular family, or had been, and they had some issues, some difficulty between the two of them, and then it started with the children, and they were particularly worried that the oldest was, or is, attention deficit. And it's a big concern, because she just seems to tune out. So I did a family visit, and I watched the dynamics, and of course, being objective helps. I'm not involved. I can just watch. I can direct. I can ask the right questions and get involved and create discussion. Well, you know, there was, in my view, I'm not the, you know, psychotherapist and the, you know, the other kind of professional, but I didn't see a darn thing wrong with this child. I think she was a perfectly normal, active child. Interesting, though, when I would ask her to do something, she would get that blank look on her face and not answer. But, you know, her dad did the same thing. And so it just was interesting that when a parent tunes out, the children will tune out. But that's what I mean by this infection of not communicating, that then we believe other people have problems. They don't have problems. They're just mimicking their environment. It's stimulating the environment. And, you know, even by osmosis, people take on characteristics of other people. They take on habits. They take on a thinking. You know, it's maybe we wouldn't necessarily believe in that, but, you know, it's working and we have such a good relationship. I'm just going to bend my rules. So that other rule of Dr. Kelly's for empowering relationships, is preference, if it's a preference, yield, and if it's a principle, to stand firm, This is the toughest thing. It is the toughest single thing to stop everybody in mid-sentence and say, hold it. This isn't working because look how it's affecting, infecting others. So you have to have all parties willing to be awake, willing to be communicating and invested in the communicating and investing in being whole and healthy people without distractions. And you know, that is a large part of it. There's a lot of things that seduce people's minds. We're occupied, preoccupied. I mean, you don't have to go very far to see people on iPods. And no kidding, I was out for brunch. My daughter was visiting, wasn't too long ago, a couple of weeks ago. Three ladies sitting at a table, the next table over, all, I guess, friends, but they were all on their iPods. And I was amazed that there was no communicating. Oh, they poke their heads up now and again and share something, but like I'm wondering, where is the communicating? Never before has it been so important that we learn how to speak to each other, acknowledge each other, share with each other, and know what we're looking for in searching for a partner. And if you have a partner, know how to give undivided attention. It's called being present. If somebody asks you a question, look at them and answer. And if you're asking a question, don't do it to somebody's back. I mean, if we're all like people in a room and you're talking out loud, but don't do it when somebody's walking away. Do it when it's appropriate. And learn how to speak to one another again. Learn the signals. And if you just get that communication thing going, you find out really quickly, you know, and it awakens all the other elements too. The spiritual feelings, the emotional feelings, the chemistry, because you have that mental stimulation again. So it begins to build respect and regard, and you don't want to control as much because you're controlling yourself. And that's principle number one, know and accept yourself. So before I go any further, I'm going to invite Dr. Doug in and ask him what would be, let's say, the two top, I don't like to call them problems, but let's say the two top concerns that you see in managing or dealing with people that that you experience and what you think is best to impart.
Are you talking about with regard to relationships or just in general?
In relationships in particular, let's say.
Well, the number one problem is the first two points that I talked about earlier, not knowing who you are and accepting yourself for who you are, and not knowing and accepting the other person for who they are. And of course, you know, you could almost boil everything else down into those two, because if you accept somebody for who they are, you're not going to try to control them. You're not going to try to tell them what to do, you know. And if you know who you are and why you are who you are, you know, you're going to know what you're looking for.
But don't you think it's fair to say that most people do not know who they are, and they enter relationships as an experiment, so to speak, where it's they get to know who they are better through their relationships with others?
Well, there may be some, there's certainly some truth. I mean, yeah, most people don't know who they are because they haven't taken the time to work on themselves. Most people are who they are through osmosis. You know, it's the way I was taught, the way I was raised. Mm-hmm. They don't really deliberately define who they are, and that leads to trouble. I mean, it leads to trouble. And so do they find out who they are from a relationship? Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, for crying out loud, I think I found out who I am from a toxic alcoholic relationship or two, you know. So I think there's some validity to that. It's just unfortunate that we have to do that. That's really.
But we're in that kind of a world. Yeah, we're in that kind of a world now that we don't take those moments to self-reflect or self just. I mean, it's just to be at peace with yourself for a moment in the quiet. Like everything is so noisy. So when people do meet somebody, they get busy in it, and that's how they get to know themselves. Because, geez, I didn't know I had that, or I didn't know I was like that. And so it's kind of like people are trying on themselves through other people.
They could.
if that makes sense.
Yes, it makes sense, and it's unfortunately the way I think it happens a lot. It's just unfortunate that it has to happen that way.
When you're talking earlier about accepting others for who they are, it's a really critical one, but the disclaimer, I might say, without the knowing who you are, like who, if I don't know who I am, but I'm accepting you for who you are, sometimes I could be accepting more of you than I am of myself. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah.
That you've seen that too?
Called them esteem, yeah.
Yeah. That it's a very big one for me. I had, it comes to mind, a lady had called where she had cause to suspect her new boyfriend of seeing someone else, and she was really angry. It's like all the anger of every man who's ever slighted her was going to go into this poor guy. And so I just said, let's breathe for a minute. Let's just breathe. And let's maybe approach this in a different way, because no good can come of raising your voice, of, you know, getting angry before you have any information. Why don't you offer him support? How about offering him, just telling him that you're there and that you're interested in his life? And, you know, the woman is nearly 40 years old and she'd never thought of that.
Wow.
And this is the kind of thing that I think we're really needing to address, because there's more of it. There's a defensiveness that people have. I know who I am and I don't need to change. You know, and they stand their ground.
Yeah, well, that's,
so everything...
That's absolutely wrong. The person who truly knows themselves says, I know who I am, and I know that I continually change and grow and evolve.
Yeah, but some people, I think this is the thing, when people have worked, it's kind of like, okay, I read that one book, you know, and I know I got it now. And they go to, you know, try on relationships, and they, you know, don't quite get it, and they're not wanting to take that next step, because I like who I am. People are very afraid, I think, of losing something. And certainly I think we have to often dump an old belief system. We have to dump an old idea that we have, but we don't lose who we are.
Right.
And I'm constantly reassuring people, you don't lose who you integrally are. You just change your mind. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Catherine's just asked something in the chat, Doug. She said, if you have a connection with someone who you know is a soulmate, have a great energy signature, how can you move on to someone else new without comparing? Won't the new one always fall short? Now, you know, this is about individuality.
Mm-hmm.
It really addresses, if you're comparing, it's, in my world, my language, the way I see this, is that a part of your spirit is still back with somebody else.
Yeah.
And if your spirit is still back there and you're still in love with someone else, you have no business dating anybody else.
Correct. And if you know and accept somebody else for who they are, that cancels out comparing them with anyone else. You accept them on their own merits for who they are, not for who they are in comparison to who somebody else is.
Absolutely. You know, especially when I was younger, when somebody would accuse me, like, you know, that jealousy thing you were talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Because I learned very young to be intact and well, you know, there's still years of experience that go with that. But the jealousy thing is a kicker for me. I don't like it. And to me, if I wanted to have a free mind, then I want to give you a free mind. To me, that's... And if you have a free mind, I have a free mind, and that's the way it goes. So when the jealousy thing would come up, somebody's jealous, I just say, you got me mixed up with somebody else. Because if you were looking at me, if you were truly looking at me, you wouldn't even have that thought. So that's where the individual, you got to look at the individual you're with. And if you got a lot of baggage... Here's the problem, I think, though. We can believe we have emotionally healed. We can believe, you know, because you intellectualize your way through emotion and healing and wounds and so on. But the minute you get in that relationship, all those emotions are triggered. So everything you thought you knew about yourself, it's just gone
right.
in about 2 seconds. Because it's got to be, we have to work it through, and we have to be able to, I think, be willing to share who we are and not fear punishment, not fear somebody not liking us. I figure if somebody doesn't like me, that's okay.
That's their loss, you know.
Thank you.
And that came,
yeah.
And that's true for you, and it's true for all of us. You know, the thing that came to mind that you'd mentioned on the client is, you know, she's upset because her boyfriend's stepping out on her. Well, you know, in a healthy relationship, first of all, that's not going to happen. You know, if even in a healthy relationship, you know, if it just doesn't work anymore, it doesn't work anymore. And
yeah.
So a healthy adult is going to say, you know, look, I just can't do this anymore. We've got to go our separate ways in whatever manner they say it. But they do that, and then they go and do whatever they're going to do. You know what I mean? It's not like you cheat. It's all up front. It's honest. It's, look, and the other person, if it's a healthy relationship, it just, you know, you go your separate ways.
I think here's the problem. Most people do not truly know how they behave, how they, you know, how they're working in relationships. They don't know how, like, they don't know how their words, their actions, their body language affects others. I have to say this. I think this is the majority of my work with people, is to help them be more self-aware. It's like how you use that tone, or, you know, your body language is intimidating, or, you know, there's a lot of gestures that people have, and that we all have, that send messages that people don't realize what those messages are. And because I think there's just, okay, I'm just going to say this. I think because we have just begun to accept bad behavior as normal, I think people believe that this is the best I can get. You know, well, it's better than all the men I've met for the last while, so he'll do, you know. Or even men will, actually, I had a dear friend of mine in his 60s, you know, and just brutally honest, he said, you know, it's amazing what lengths men will go to have a woman in his life, what they will put up with. But I would say the same thing of women. It's just to have somebody in your life, what you'll put up with. And that's selling your soul. And my question, people, my question is simply, how much is your soul worth? You know, if somebody is staying in a relationship, you know, and I don't begrudge folks this, you know, you're 60, 70 years old, in a relationship, it's everybody got retired, and you look at each other and don't like each other, and you say, oh my God, what's happened? But they're not going to leave each other because they've got a whole life of finances invested. I mean, it would be devastating to them. So they elect to stay together. So there's two things that I ask people. Okay, then how much is your soul worth? Because that's the first question. And the other is, can you do this and have respect? Because if you can't have respect, then you're just going to be angry for the rest of your life, feeling like you had to stay. It's like being held hostage. So, and again, just Camille just put up their secondary gains. That is dead on, Camille.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to understand and appreciate, and this is where that compassion comes in, about people are making decisions that they feel is the best they have. That's all they have to offer. Very often there's people who are especially older who have health problems. They're terrified to be out on their own. They're terrified of, you know, well, how could I support myself? Where could I get help? And it's a tough thing to deal with. So,
it is. So
what I encourage people to do is just simply ask, how much is your soul worth? Let's say the husband brings in, and I'm just throwing it out there, $50,000 a year. Is your soul worth $50,000 a year? And secondly, can you be respectful and be grateful then for that $50,000 a year, because that's why you're there. So can you have gratitude for it? Usually it takes on a new color of thinking, usually, because people hadn't thought of it that way. I do know how scary it is to be older and on your own. And I look at young people, and I think people of all ages are very afraid of being alone. But if you have a relationship with yourself, and truly a good relationship with yourself, yes, you're going to go through ebbs and tides and ups and downs, but you're going to find your resourcefulness. And that's what people forget, is when you know yourself and you're grounded in yourself, then you find how resourceful you can be.
Well, I always put it as, you know, when you like who you are and you like being with yourself, you're never really lonely, you know. And maybe that's just a personality style. I don't know. I don't think it should have to be that. But I often put myself in that position. If I was not in a relationship with Tracy and I was just alone, what would I be doing? Well, the answer is I'd be doing exactly what I'm doing right now.
Exactly.
You know? And sure, I might want to meet somebody, but it's not my work. My work is would be my lover, you know, like a captain of a ship, who captain's married to the ship. You know, I've got my work, and yes, I it doesn't mean I'm not sociable or don't want human, you know, companionship and all that stuff, but it's not, even if I never get it, I'm still got me. And I don't know how to impress that upon people, because it really is a part of, I don't know, awakening, I guess, growing in life to the point where, you know, look, if you can't find the soulmate, you know, we all have our needs. So, you know, maybe you have a friend with benefits who is in the same position. I don't know. But,
sure.
But, you know, and if I'm going to want to find somebody, you know what I'm going to be doing? More of my work, because the person that is I'm going to be attracted to, that I have the same energy signature, is going to be doing something similar in a similar field and at a similar level of growth. So that's where I'm going to meet them.
See, that's a very good point, because a lot of people are looking in, you know, looking for love in all the wrong places. I think there's a song about that. that it's like looking over there in places, in areas, in lots of venues that is not you. If it's not you, why are you there? What makes you think you're going to find somebody over there when you don't even like that? This is bonkers to me, but, you know, guys who don't like to dance but go to the bar and the dance hall to find a woman, well, she believes he's a dancer, you know?
Right.
And then they find out later he doesn't like to dance.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of like a false salesmanship. And I think this is where people get more and more defensive all the time and more fearful, is because there is so much false representation, misrepresentation.
Pretence.
Of exactly, just to be able to, you know, get a hook out there and reel somebody in and see, let's try this one on. But it's like what you said, it's going to the places that are of mutual interest. And hoping that people are being honest there, you know, and being genuine. But I would have to say, honestly, I would say upwards of 80-90% people are terrified to be honest.
Wow.
Yeah, one of the questions I ask repeatedly with my clients is, have you told your spouse that? And 9 times out of 10, they'll say, oh, I couldn't do that. People are very,
blows me away too.
They're very afraid to be who they are because of fear to not be loved and accepted.
Yep.
But
them esteem.
It's the energy it takes to maneuver, to manipulate, to dance. It's like doing this dance. It's huge. They're exhausted. People are exhausted not being who they are, not feeling free to just, you know, you might like me in the blue dress better, but tonight I feel like wearing green and everybody's okay with that. You know, it's really tough. People not being honest, not being forthright, not just saying what's on their mind, and hopefully in a good way. You know, hopefully in a good way. You know, John mentioned, he's just said something in the chat. He said, being alone is good. And he says, I tend to balance out my being alone with being around people as far as friends and family. And he values his alone time. That's great, John, and that's great for you. To say being alone is good, just, you know, I have just this, see, I guess it's my spidey senses that just went up. Because I think that being alone is good as long as you're not with somebody to make it better. Does that make sense?
Balance is the key, as exactly. In everything. You know, yeah. And that's and he's saying that too, you know.
Yeah, I think so.
So now Kathy had a follow up. What she's trying to say is once you found true love, maybe any love after that could be good, but it will never be what you know could have been with your true love.
You know, Kathy, I probably one of the most extraordinary women I ever met back in the 70s. Actually, I'd gone to her house, and I was being put to a test by my mentor. That's kind of a funny story. I'll share it with you. I went in there, and it was to meet Alice. Bless her heart. She's gone now. And Alice had this very Romanian-looking, gypsy-looking woman with black eyes and tall and lean. And of course, I'm young, and I'm very intimidated by this. But sitting in the kitchen, things started to happen, and I said, she wanted me to read for her, so I started reading. And I said, you know, my neck hurts. She goes, oh, yes, dear, that's my dead husband. He visits sometimes, and he broke his neck in a car accident. And she's very casual about it. And I said, well, gee, I'm in my mind's eye, I'm seeing a lot of books upstairs. She goes, you know, well, he was gone for about a year, and he came back, and I know he likes his books, so I pulled them out of the boxes and put them there for him upstairs. And I'm saying, okay. just then, the cat screamed, came flying down the stairs. This white smoke came floating down the stairs, and the chandelier started swinging back and forth. Now, I just kind of froze. It was very cool. But bless her heart, my mentor, Magda, she said, and again, these women, they're very regal, you know, and back then. And she said, you know, I wonder what is truly a spirit energy or the workings of our own mind to make that happen.
Well, that was actually a great point.
It was one of my first, most profound lessons of self-study. Always ask the questions. But here's Alice, bless her heart. When her husband was killed, it was her soulmate. He died in 1967 at that time. And she had three boys. You know, no one compared to her husband. No one. Now, she went on to build a really big real estate company and did very well for herself. And I'd visit her even as the years went. And she left the planet about 3 years ago. And I'd seen her just about a year and a half prior to that. And I asked her that day, Alice, why didn't you ever remarry? And she said, oh, well, I had been asked many times. But, you know, when you've had the very best, they all just pale, don't they? But here was the thing, Catherine. She was so good to be with herself. She felt full to have had that love. And that's what, you know, another one of the reasons to love these women I've been so blessed to be around is she just exuded that self-confidence, that self-certainty. And you know, she didn't feel denied. She really did truly believe that she had been blessed to have a quintessential relationship at a time in life where, you know, things were kind of, women still had aprons. And, you know, she dated. She had other relationships, but it was just, you know, fun and enjoyable. And that spoke volumes. And some people are okay with that. So it just depends. Again, we're back to, can you accept that individual that you've met for who they are, what they bring to your life, and what you share as a different experience. Now, I'm not saying everybody should be like Alice, but these women have set a very good example for me, and, you know, I'm on my own, and I'm good with that, and that's not to say I'm not open, I just don't think about it, because I really believe, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I just don't think about it. And that's not to say I've got blinders on or I've got anything, because, you know, I my spidey senses, you know, wake up now and again, but I'm good if this is it. You know, I believe I've had, you know, a pretty good life. I don't feel denied. Would it be better? Could it be easier? Oh, yeah. You know, that's all mental stuff and physical stuff where we think, oh, it would be financially better, or isn't it nice to have somebody to talk to? And, you know, well, now Doug Kelly is stuck with me where I just Skyped him. So,
lucky,
you know,
me.
Lucky you. But I think what happens when people really feel, sometimes people feel they've had the best, they really haven't. And that's the key. There it goes right there.
Best up to that point.
It's the best to that point. And you could have had that spiritual connection. But I tell you what, if you have not had yourself fulfilled at every level, then you have not had the best.
And I'd like to just point out, too, for Kathy's benefit, that, you know, that could be like the experience you just talked about with Alice. That could be very true. Yeah, you've never met somebody that could compare to the person, but that doesn't mean that person's not good too.
That's right.
You could have a favorite, if you will. That's just life. That's just life. That's the way it goes. And so, the key is to, you know, look at the new individual on their own merits.
Here's the deal. This is the way I see it. The likelihood of me getting married and celebrating my 50th wedding anniversary is very unlikely. So, you know, I just suck it up and say, oh, well, this is the script. This is the way it got wrote. I mean, some people have their experiences to be married, one partner forever. Other people, it's not that way. And I'm not going to compare even, it's just the way it is. When we get into trouble is when we compare. We compare ourselves to others. We compare ourselves to the dream we were fed as children. We compare. It just is. This is my own ride. You know, that's what I say. Mm-hmm. And everybody's got good stories. I got great stories. And it's, you know, being alone doesn't mean we're dead. So, you know, there's great stories. It just doesn't mean to say that there is that one that I am familiar with at this time on the planet that I would share my life with. And so it's whatever you're looking for, you got to be careful about the looking business, because what you're looking at, you're only going to see what you want. That's tricky. It's very, very tricky. If somebody has shown an interest, oh, I wanted somebody who was interested in me. And he, you know, happens to like shooting pool. Oh, I love shooting pool. So what you're looking at, if you're looking for somebody, you're only going to, or likely going to see the qualities that you like, instead of just being able to step back and see the whole picture. Just because somebody's got, you know, is scoring like, you know, 10 likes out of 50 that are the same, doesn't mean that's the one for you. You know, I'm just going to say this just for the ladies' sake. Many years ago, I knew a fellow who happened to be a judge. We were working on some projects together. I'll tell you, sitting with this man is like 3 hours would go by and it seemed a blink. I always got so excited about our visits and our discussions, and I found myself, there's an attraction. You know, there's that, wow, I'm excited. And you get excited, you feel attracted, and then you step back, and I had this little talk with myself. That is mental excitement. That does not mean anything is supposed to happen. And as soon as I had that thought, all the rest went away. And I could just have this wonderful mental friendship with somebody. You know, and that's what we have to do, is step back and say, if, is there this or is there that, and kind of get the perspective, the balance.
Excellent.
So when you're, sorry.
Excellent point.
Well, it's tricky. It's very, very tricky when you're looking for someone to be with. If you're looking, you're only going to look for the things you want to see. But if you're just open, if your frequency is open, what I said at the very beginning, I am open to receive a life partner who's on the same vibrational frequency as myself. And, you know, let the energy set up and feel your way through it. And whoever you meet, you step forward, they step forward. You know, if you're agonizing over whether or not to call somebody, just, you know, bite your tongue for a minute and think about that, because have they called you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, I don't want to, actually, this conversation not too long ago with somebody, well, they said, I don't want to get hurt. Well, you haven't done anything to get hurt about. You know,
yeah.
I'm afraid to feel rejected.
No pain, well, no gain.
What's rejection? You know, that's, we have to, if we really stop and think about it, it's silly.
Yeah.
It's very silly. If you are afraid that your feelings are going to get hurt, then you are not ready for a healthy relationship.
And that's,
That.
And that's what I was trying to say earlier, too. You know, if you're worried about getting rejected, that is a them esteem issue. It's not a self-esteem.
Absolutely.
Somebody with self-esteem doesn't worry about getting rejected, because it's not rejection. The only true rejection would be if you rejected yourself. You know, if somebody doesn't accept me for who I am, so what? You know, the old expression, what you think of me is none of my business. I don't really care. Yeah, maybe we had a relationship, maybe we were in love, whatever. But if it comes to a point where they no longer want you, that doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. It means that they've changed, or you've both changed, whatever. It's not an automatic.
Well, I think that everything is a discovery, and it's a process. And in my entire life, and this is why, by the way, everyone, if you haven't figured this out by now, why I love MCHS Church, because it continues to support what I have taught for my adult life, which is knowing yourself. Who are you? If I ask you what you like or what you think about that, I am very sincere to ask that question. I'm not asking it to see how I can make you like me. I don't have a motive. I don't have an ulterior motive. I don't have a manipulation. But sometimes people get very defensive. They get uncomfortable. They get nervous. They get fearful to have their own thoughts. And I have watched this my entire life, and it's what I support strongly, is have your own mind. Have your own individual viewpoints. Have your own experiences. And with your experience and my experience and our experience, then we grow. But if we're always worried about out-talking, out-doing, or fearful of something else, then I don't really know who you are. And that's, it's painful to be with people when you don't know who they are, because they're afraid to reveal themselves.
Yeah.
And again, you know, we reveal ourselves appropriately, but go ahead, Doug.
No, just big point. You can't, here's the thing a lot of folks don't realize. When they go looking for somebody, they put on a pretense. And so does the other person. So both people are basically falling in love with a pretense, with a lie. It's not who they really are. And then it takes a long time, you know, to cut through that pretense to find out who they really are. And then they realize, well, gee, I don't like this person anymore. And so,
yeah, it's tough.
So
it's tough.
You know, it's,
we have a caller on the line, Doug.
Go ahead.
So John is going to put a call through us. Hello.
Hi. I have a question.
Go ahead.
Or, you know, I would like to open up the, you know, open up a dialogue, actually.
Good.
I made some, you know, I'm not about, like, going out to bars and doing that to find someone or to look for someone. And I was dating. I am not dating right now. And so usually things just happen. I don't really have to, like, work or go out and look for someone. And I just met this new person, and, you know, she really wanted to go to this bar, and I'm already feeling like I don't really want to go to this bar. This bar is not happening anymore, but she wanted to go out, and, you know, I dressed really casually because I don't want to go out there and look for someone, and I just wanted to be me. So I'm
no
going
cleavage?
No cleavage, just as tiger shirt with my jeans that I wear during the day, you know, nothing special.
Good girl. Good girl.
So I'm out there, and then she's wearing a dress, and she's really, like, really looking for someone and looking out there, and I really like her. Like, there's nothing wrong with this girl. She's actually really pretty, very attractive, and, you know, is spiritual, which is all amazing, but instead of, like, you know, being there for each other like I'm used to with my other girlfriends, you know, she's open to meeting other guys and being open to that,
yeah,
which there's nothing wrong with either. So,
what's your first name?
It's Anna.
Anna, hi. It's just good to have a name to talk to, Anna.
Yeah, sure. But
so what did you do in that situation? How did you handle that?
Well, that's what I want to talk about, is that I meet lots of girls, like, this is the second girl that, the other one was, like, many years ago, but these girls that go out and expose themselves to meet someone, and usually it's a huge disappointment. Now,
yes,
I don't want to participate in this. I don't want to go out with her so that she can find a guy, and I will be there just to be there for her. Like, that's not my type of... So while I was saying this to God, you know, like, I don't want this in my life, I don't want to go out like this with girls to be used, then, you know, she said to me, like, hell with it, we shouldn't just go out to meet people, we should just go and have fun together. And I'm like, oh, she basically heard my prayer, I think, you know.
Well, I think Here's the difference between people getting together to enjoy each other's company and people going on the hunt.
Yeah.
And you know what they're hunting for? It's not a relationship, it's sex. Because that's what it is.
Okay.
And if that's you got all your pheromones going and your perfume going and you've got your heels on, you're going, and I'm not saying people don't have fun, but if they're looking for a man and you're like that and it's just not your vibe, that's good. And you did put that out. She
yeah.
heard you. And people, then good for you, Anna, that you're representing that whole being, not the in-part being. And see, it's a tough example to set. It is.
Yeah.
I do know. But if that's going out to those clubs and stuff isn't your thing, here's maybe put your thinking cap on to get other things going, like, I know, bowling isn't everybody's thing, but
yeah.
if it's a bowling league or if it's any kind of a, you know, art classes or, you know,
but
find an interesting yoga class.
For me, that's not the problem, that my life is like that. But I right now, my concern is when I go out with her, there's this thing about her having to find someone. So I'm not enjoying it. There's already a label there, you know, and I don't want to cater. I don't want to be participating in that. There's already a label, even though
then
she
don't.
Said,
yeah,
you know, yeah, then don't. But I do like her company, so I guess I'll meet her during
yeah.
the day.
Yeah, that's, you start putting boundaries. You set your boundaries, and without giving unsolicited advice, just as a girlfriend, ask her why she feels the need to have a man and what kind of a man she's looking for. Maybe open up some dialogue that, and maybe point out, I love what Dr. Doug says about them esteem. I love that. Because if you need other people to make you feel good, that's
yeah.
them esteem. And that's what she
yeah.
has.
Yeah.
And maybe use those terms and say, you know what I heard? The difference between self-esteem and them esteem is this. And, you know, maybe it's that one liner from you that, and this is, again, how we share, without giving unsolicited advice,
yeah,
but just sharing ideas, that you can share that philosophy or that little adage with her, and it might trigger. Just one little thing can trigger.
Well, I shared a woman's story looking for love, and the journey basically ended looking for her own inner being, valuing her own being first. So I
yes.
sent her this video, which is really amazing, and I said, I just wanted to share this with you. I'm loving it, and it's nothing about like imposing for me, but I do want to send her a different message, and she hasn't responded. I know she's been checking her mail, but she hasn't responded. So,
Yeah. Well, you know, you take the risk, again, without stepping over the line, because boundaries are people have the right to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And if and like attracts like, the thing is, you have to decide also on how much you like this woman, how much you value her company, and under what circumstances. So I think what I'm hearing from you is that you have set some of those boundaries, and you're learning through this how to better handle situations, finding the dialogue, the language, and you're doing the right thing. You know, Anna, I'm just going to say this to you. I had a little flash. I think you're going to meet somebody, someone, in the next 8 months, and we'll still be on the air, so I really want you to call back and tell us if that happens.
Oh, what else? Do you see anything else, maybe?
I just had a little flash as you're talking. You are going to meet the one, and I believe your life partner, within the next 8 to 10 months. And that's not to say you couldn't come across him prior to that or meet him prior to that. Sometimes I like to give myself an extra little bit of time so I don't totally hang myself out. But that's just me covering my butt. So I think what I sense here, my spidey senses, so would you please make sure you stay tuned with the show and let us know in the next few months. Thanks for calling, Anna.
Well, thank you so much for the feedback, by the way. I really
Good.
Needed some support.
Good. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Boy, that was a bunch of good information there, Doug.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's, you know, that's the thing, you know, you have friendships and relationships like this, and when they're, you know, casual or those types of friendships, you know, there is give and take involved.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what you invest in a friendship. So, yeah. You know, so that means going out now and then, so, you know, to be with her or whatever, to also share some of that time, fine. But, you know, if it gets to a point where it's really an issue of principle for one person, you know, then they have to set that boundary and make a decision. And that decision could end up meaning the end of the relationship. But, you know, you go, in fact, what you had said earlier, you know, what price is your soul worth? You know, that's a good question for boundaries, too, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think that what Anna has just proven, too, is that we're not just talking about, you know, man, woman, well, and whatever, intimate partnerships. We're talking about all kinds of relationships, all kinds of friendships, and that we're learning how to do them again. We're learning how to have better friendships. And just to go over these first five principles again, know and accept yourself, accept others, don't control other people. And, you know, this one, it's one of my favorite ones, that you ever get lost, check in. Don't do for others what they could and should do for themselves. I love that principle. It's just one of my favorites. And number five is about communicating, which is what we're doing here right now, is learning how to better communicate with each other. And keep in mind, everybody, that, you know, we have a sensory perception, too. And, you know, something I've said often to people is when you meet somebody, your intuition goes out the window. It's because there's this occupation with the emotional stimulation, the physical chemistry, and the mental things, you know, and that thinking about things so much that intuition's gone. It just seems to go away. The other wonderful thing that can happen when you're with the right one and with people who you're connected with at all levels is that your intuition is heightened. People who it's like you know where they are, you know what they're thinking, and you have the connection with them. that doesn't have words. It doesn't need words, because you just feel, you know, where they're at and you know, that sensing. And you feel that with Tracy. I know you do, Doug, where you just feel each other.
Yeah, well, that's the interesting thing. We did a program, I don't know, a few weeks ago on that, where, I mean, we finish each other's sentences. We're not on the same page. We're on the same word. You know,
yeah.
Every week, we constantly have it happen where, you know, where we're thinking the same thing at the same time, whether that's just knowing each other intimately or, you know, quantum entanglement or both. I don't know, but it's, you know, just...
You retain your individuality. This is the key.
Absolutely. And that's one of the points which we'll discuss next week when I do part two of these empowered principles for relationships, maintaining your own identity. And there's four others that we'll go over too.
I don't think that there's a subject that could be more important, actually. And it's about relationships. It's again what I end up talking with people about most of the time, and how we need to be healthier, how we need to communicate better, and it's just that general sense of partnering in the world. We are all in this together. I really believe none of us is really going anywhere without the other. You know, we want to share. We want to we want to get along. We want to know each other a little better. So please tell your friends about our show. Please, you know, spread the word. We love to hear from more people, and keep it going. So we're here every Sunday evening at 9:00 Eastern Time, and you can figure out the translations with Dr. Doug Kelly at 9:00, and I follow right after Dr. Vicky Psychic Perspective. So if you do have any questions, intuitive questions, that's what I have. That's what I'm here for. So thank you, everyone, again for joining our show. Have a good week, and we'll talk to you next week for sure. Good night.